You know, I don't know what issues or challenges you're going through or you're facing in your life or your situation right now today, but I've got some good news for you. Amen. I don't know what things the enemy is trying to use. I do know that he means them for evil, but I know something else. I know that God means everything for your good. Well, it's always a joy to come and bring and minister the word of God. Always a joy to communicate with you and just to declare his goodness and his favor and everything that God does for us and in us and through us. Well, this morning, I kind of just decided during the worship what I'd call my message, because I've, you know, sometimes you're not sure about titles and stuff. You know, someone says there's at least 3 different messages. For every sermon that's preached, there's at least 3 different messages. There's the one that the people heard, what they thought it was. Then there's some other one that somebody else says it is. And then there's the one that you preached. But there you go. Praise God. So just call it God is good. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, God is good. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, God is so good all the time. And all the time, God is good. Amen. Amen. You know, I want to read, first of all, I want to start from the book of beginnings, the book of Genesis. So if you can give me Genesis and chapter, let's just pick up at chapter 49. Genesis chapter 49 in the New Kojovi version. That's the New King James version to the uninitiated. The New King James Version, Genesis chapter 49, and let's just dip in at the close of the chapter in the 33rd verse. So Genesis chapter 49, verse number 33. And it says, and when Jacob had finished commanding his sons, listen to this, he drew his feet up into the bed and breathed his last and was gathered to his people. So we come onto the scene where literally Jacob has, as they say, just popped his clogs. He drew his, I thought that was a curious expression. He drew up his feet into the bed and breathed his last. And he went to be gathered to his people. You know, this is, I really want to speak about Joseph, but I want to start at this point here because so much has gone on. And Joseph, we know his story. You can see my shirt. I'm just giving you a subtle hint that he had a dream that he shared with his brothers. And how many remember that? They didn't really like his dream. In fact, his dad and his mom didn't like it much better either. But that was his dream. And so much went on that, you know, he got sold into slavery. Potiphar's wife hit on him. He went to prison. He went to the inner prison. He hits rock bottom. And then God. Everyone say, but God. There's a theme that runs through Joseph's life. There's something that's said of him often over and over and over and over and over again. But the Lord was with Joseph. But the Lord, in spite of everything that happened to him, in spite of everything that he went through, over and over again, Scripture tells us, but the Lord was with Joseph. Wow. So, come back to where we are now. Jacob has just died, has just passed on. Let's listen in on the conversation that his 11 brothers are now having with each other. So can you give me chapter 50 and verse number 15? Verse number 15, 1-5, thank you. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, as we all saw, in the previous chapter there. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was now dead, they said, perhaps Joseph will hate us and may actually repay us for the evil which we did to him. Now, if we're in a court of law, that's a slam dunk admission right there. They just nailed it. No, you've just got him there. Guilty as charged. Bang! Perhaps, they said, Joseph will hate us and may actually repay us for the evil which we did to him. Perhaps he'll repay us for the evil that we did to him. I want you to just follow me on this story. So give me verse number 18. I'm going to stop and start and just chop through some verses. So verse number 18 says, then his brothers also went and fell before his face. And they said, behold, we are your servants. Remember his dream. What did he say was going to happen? Who was going to bow before who? Does it look familiar? His brothers went and bowed down, just like his dream said they would, and bowed down before him. And actually said, we are your servants. Actually, somehow the tables have turned. Now the shoe's on the other foot. Now Joseph, little brother Joseph, with his coat of many colors self, is now ruler in Egypt, second only to Pharaoh. What he says goes. And his brothers are scared that it's payback time. His brothers are scared that he's going to take vengeance on them. In fact, to the extent they said, you know what? Dad said before he died that you had to be kind to us. we'll just let that one, leave that one there. Please give me verse number 19. And Joseph said to them, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. You see, I think when they bowed down before him, when they said, Dad said, you've got to be kind to us, you know, that really was fear speaking. I'm not so sure Dad actually said that. But that was their fear that was speaking. Because the shoe was on the other foot now. Verse number 20. But as for you, now this is Joseph's reply to them. Joseph is now speaking. But as for you, you meant evil against me. In today's language, we say, let's call a spade a spade. As for you, you meant evil against me. You really meant it. You meant evil. So Joseph was letting them know that he wasn't under any illusions, that really this was some kind of mistake. This was some kind of miscarriage of justice. This was some kind of accident. We just kind of sold you accidentally. We kind of pushed you and you tripped and you fell into that pit. And then there just happens to be this caravan of Ishmaelites traders passing by, and we accidentally sold you to them. That's what happened. Might sound a bit far-fetched story, but really, that's what happened. No. Joseph said to them point blank, as for you, you meant evil against me. But I love this next statement. But God, everyone say, but God. But God meant it for good. But God meant it for good. How is that possible? But God meant it for good. Wow, this same thing, this same evil that they meant against Joseph, God meant it, the same thing, God meant it for good. And then it says, to bring it about as it is this day. In other words, it's God's divine order and providence and purpose that has brought us to this day, to where we are right now. God's orchestrated behind the scenes the whole thing. And so we are where we are today because God's purpose is about to be fulfilled. So God meant it. And then I love this bit. This is the clinch. It says, to save many people alive. Wow. Was Joseph and his family, his 12 brothers and their families and all their children, were they saved in Egypt? Yes, they were. They were saved in that time of famine. The Bible said famine was so severe that everybody came to Egypt to beg for bread. And Joseph had been divinely positioned ahead of time to store up for that season of famine. And the famine got so severe, we know the story, that other nations around all came. And you know what? Joseph opened up the barns, opened up the storehouses, and began to pour out, and began to pour out. Until they had no more money to pay, and the famine was still on. And then they started to release their lands just to live, just to eat. But I want us to see the awesomeness of God, because this is, you know, this is so good. But just say with me, God is so good.
God is
so
good.
God is so good. Amen. Say it with attitude. God is so, because he is. You know, that's his name. So that's his nature. The nature of God is good. God is good through and through. From the top to the bottom and all the way around, all the way through the middle, God is thoroughly good. Amen. You know, it reminds me, you know, this whole story and the salvation, and it all come together in a minute. But it reminds me just of a season in my life when I was just going through a real difficult time. And it was a difficult time at work. I kind of alluded to it. I kind of gave the icing on the cake yesterday to some extent in sharing my own testimony about dealing with the spirit of fear that had just ravaged and savaged my life. And it just dogged me from childhood, from infancy as a child, right through into my adulthood, right up to the pulpit. Was just chasing me down hard and fast everywhere I went. Fear just dominated and petrifying me. And in this season, again, at work, I gave that testimony and I said, We found the laptop that was missing, etc., and everything sort of went good. But I want to backtrack a little bit there, because I'm going to put the microscope and just light up a little bit of detail there. You see, so the background to that story was that I was now in a situation where management had decided to put some safeguards in place we'd call them disciplinary measures. Some things to make sure that this doesn't happen in the future. Some checks and some balances. And I remember going to being in a meeting with my team leader at the time, or my line manager at the time. And you know how it is in these sorts of meetings, they always, management will try to present a positive face or a friendly face, that we're not just trying to beat you with the cane, we want to help and support you. What can we do for you? My manager said. And it's quite interesting because even in that moment, you know, I was feeling so down, so negative and stuff. But as we sat there in that big boardroom, you know, it's like a massive room, and there's just two chairs and the table there, polished. But I sensed the anointing come, and the Lord was with Joseph right there in the prison. And the Lord was with Temi right there in that management meeting. And I sensed his presence come upon me. I thought, wow. And it came to me. And I heard myself say these words. And I was just as surprised as the manager looking at me. She said, what can we do to support you? And I said, if I was an alcoholic, there's no word of a lie, it's a true statement. So if I was an alcoholic, I would have checked myself in to Alcoholics Anonymous. If I was a drug addict, I would have gone and sought for some help. Neither of those statements are true for me. But yes, there is something that you can do for me. There's a conference that's coming up very shortly. And it's a 2-day residential conference. And I'd like your permission to go to that conference. I think it will help me. That's what I said to my manager. She sort of looked at me and said, really? She couldn't sort of make the connection. I said, just trust me. I said, yeah. That's what, if you want to help me, do something for me, that's what you can do for me. I'd like to go to this conference. I guarantee, and I'll be sorted. That's it. That's what you can do for me. Struck the gavel. Done. Okay. Sure. What are the dates? Looked at the diaries. Okay. Yeah. That works. Yeah. You can take those 2 days. That was it. This is years ago now. Heal for life. Here I come. And I remember that so well. Because I remember on day number one, it was in Hailey at the time. Day number one, as I sat there, Pastor Joe, standing from the pulpit, made this statement, put your weapons down. And the Lord began to speak to me and just said, no, this is not Pastor Temi attending some highbrow conference, all sort of suited and booted and stuff. No, we're stripped of everything. Take off all your pastor hats, all your daddy hats, all your team leader hats, everything. Just put everything down. Put everything down like Adam, naked and unashamed. Just bare. Put everything down and just come just as you are. I thought, wow. Said, if you're sitting next to somebody that might make you feel a little self-conscious, then move and sit somewhere else. Because we're going to get down to some nitty-gritty. We're going to point out some stuff, and we just need you to just really be free. So I changed my position. I didn't physically, but in here, in my mind, I reset that switch. I just set it back to like zero, to blank. I don't know anything. I'm a child. I need everything. And I was sitting there, and as speakers began to minister, it was as though every session began to speak to me. Oh, was I insecure? Oh, was I afraid? Oh, was I this? I felt like, you know, it was like, you know, in the boxing matches, and the two fighters are fighting, throwing punches, and then the bell rings, ding, ding, ding. And then, okay, that's enough, you know, go and sit down. And then ding, 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 they come back for more. Boom, 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 and then ding, 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 and you go and sit down, and ding, ding. And I was like punch drunk. Whoa, by the, I didn't know which side was up. Everything. Boy, did I need work. It was like open heart surgery, as they say. You know, Gracie said that. It really was open heart surgery. God had me on his operating table, and he was like taking stuff out, putting stuff in, fixing. But I needed it. And the Lord was with Joseph, and the Lord was with Temi. And by the end of that, wow, I had an MOT done. I was done. I was properly, as in the North say, made up. The proper made up. That's my northern accents. But yeah, God went to work in my heart and did so much in those 2 days. The Lord just restored Temi. The Lord worked on me. The Lord fixed me good. You know, I love what the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 4:17 says. He says, our momentary light affliction. I'm talking about God being good. The things that seem like they're designed to hurt us, things that the devil even means to use, God's got a way of just using those very same, not something else, those very things, God will use it for good. Those very things, God will use it for the good. Because that's the God that he is. So Paul describes the thing that happened to him as momentary and light affliction. And then he says that it's working for us, so it's working for me, a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. The scripture says, if God is for you, then who can be against you? You know, the kind of example I like to use is like a ball, obviously filled with air, and you're trying to push it down under the water. Try it in the pool or in the bath or something. Don't try and push that ball down. As soon as you take your hand off, what happens? It shoots up. You hold it back down again, it shoots up. Why? You just can't keep it down. So Paul says, all that happened to him, he describes them as momentary light affliction. You know, I don't know what issues or challenges you're going through or you're facing in your life or your situation right now today. But I've got some good news for you. Amen. I don't know what things the enemy is trying to use. I do know that he means them for evil. But I know something else. I know that God means everything for your good. You know, there's a lovely scripture in Romans 8 and verse 28. And this is the Apostle Paul. And Paul says, but we know. Romans 8 and 28. The New Code Review. Okay. It says, we know. This is what we know. We know that all things, says, and we know that all things work together for good for those who love God, for those who are called according to his purpose. We know that. So we know some things. So when you're going through stuff in your life, I want you to know. I want you to know that God is behind the scenes working things for your good. Keep your eyes on Jesus, not on the things that are around you, but on Jesus who is in you, on Jesus who is with you in the midst of that situation, because he's working on your behalf. He's working to bring you out of it with glory to his name. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. You know, I love what our sister Ruth, Auntie Ruth, shared. And she spoke about, you know, she spoke of, what was the word that she used? She spoke about forgiveness. I said it's an antibiotic. I love it. I thought that was so good. That it's an antibiotic. Forgiveness is an antibiotic. You know, forgiveness is doing what God's asked us to do. He says, how many times shall I forgive my brother? Till seven times? No, till 70 times, seven times. It didn't literally mean that 490 times. It just meant just keep doing it. Keep going. It's an antibiotic to forgive because God commands us to forgive. Someone said in the area of fear, there's at least 365 instances where the Bible says, fear not. So you can take it like a vitamin. One for each day of the year. How about that? Is that good? One for every day. Fear not, says the Lord. You know, Joseph said to his brothers, don't be afraid. Fear not. Don't be afraid. Fear not. You see, God wants to turn your mess into a message. Amen. God wants to turn your mess into a message. God wants to turn your mourning into dancing. God wants to give you the garments of praise instead of the spirit of heaviness. God wants to turn it all around in your life. But he wants you to keep your eyes and your focus on him. And you know, it's just such a great thing. You know, I want to just close with this story that we've seen before in Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16 and 25. There's a story of Paul and Silas in prison. You see, even in the midst of it, at the midnight hour, when it's darkest, they were praising God. It says, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. I'm trying to imagine how that would have been. Their backs bleeding, having been beaten up, imprisoned, yet they're singing praises and worshiping God. And the prisoners are here. What kind of human beings are these? Singing praises and worshiping God in prison. But the Lord was with them. And because the Lord was with them, he delivered them with such an earthquake that it shook the prison, released all of the prisoners, all of the inmates, everyone's chains were loosed, all the doors were opened, and they were free to go. But they didn't go. So much so, if I can just have someone on the keyboard, please. So much so that the jailers, or the chief jailer, was about to draw his sword and kill himself. And then Paul had to say, hold on, just a minute. Don't do it. We're all still here. You know the story? He brought a light and he sprang in. But the end of that story this is why I want us to see the greater glory to God, is that, you know, right there, if you can give me verse number 34, Acts chapter 16 and verse number 34, I want to see the end of that. It says, now when he had brought them into his house, he set food before them, and he rejoiced, having believed in God with all his household. That situation was so turned around that the jailer who imprisoned Paul and Silas, himself and his family, actually got saved. You know, that was the birth of the church in Philippi. It's an amazing story. You know, God is still doing amazing stories. I'm going to invite you to stand to your feet. God is still doing amazing stories today. And he still wants to do it in your life and in my life. He wants to turn every situation, every negative in your life around to a positive. God wants to deliver you more than you even want to be delivered. You think that things are tough? God wants to bless you, and he wants to bless you real good. The Bible says God is good. This is divine nature. See, I was in a situation where I was being called up and disciplined and stuff. God doesn't move God. No, God knew that way before they even did. But God turned my situation around. God gave me a new story. He's turned the story of failure to a story of success. I can remember one of our clients writing directly to my manager. So, what's your manager's address? Not to report me, to praise me. So I'm going to write to the manager. And she wrote to the manager and said, this man, he did this for me. She said, I've been with this firm for more than 20 years. I've pulled every lever. I tried every back door that I know. I tried to use my influence and solve this particular situation, but I couldn't. And then this man, your tech man, he did this for me and he solved my problem. I want you to recognize him. The Bible says God is able to do exceedingly abundantly, above and beyond all that you can ask or think or even dare to imagine. So right now, just in this atmosphere, I just want you to close your eyes for a moment and just speak to the Lord in your hearts. And just say to the Lord that, Lord, I want to cooperate with you. Whatever the situation or the circumstance is in your life, whatever you're dealing with, whether it's in the area of your health, whether it's in the area of finances, whether it's to do with your family, whether it's to do with children, whatever situation may challenge you in your present circumstance situation, I want you to know that God is bigger than the things that are bigger than you. You know, my pastor told me that one. Remember the story of David and Goliath? You know, Goliath thought he was a real badass. But David said, do you know what? My God is bigger than you. Come against me with your javelin, with your sword and your fancy shield, thinking that you're all that. But I come against you in the name of my God. And today I'm going to separate your head from your shoulders. You know, that's what I call fighting talk. But you see, when the fighting talk was all over, it was time to get this show on the road. And the Bible says that David took 5 smooth stones, put it in his slingshot. And he said he hastened. I love that. It's my favorite story in the Bible. He hastened towards Goliath. He didn't approach cautiously. He didn't try to catch him on the blind side. No, in plain sight. He rushed towards Goliath. It's called boldness. It's called the missing ingredients. And he held that because his confidence wasn't in himself, it was in his God. My God is bigger than you. He will take you down. He will destroy you, not tomorrow, today. And we know the end of that story. There were two strikes. The stone struck Goliath, and Goliath struck the floor. Game over. God wants to deal with any situation that is in your life today, not tomorrow, today. He says, draw near to me and I'll draw near to you. Today, if you will hear his voice and harden not your heart, God is here and present to heal, to deliver, to save, to restore. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you. We thank you, Lord, because you are good, because you are so good. You are infinitely good. Father, thank you for your great love with which you have loved us. Father, so we come to you, Lord, and we present every challenge in our lives. Father, we choose to cooperate and to come into agreement with your word. We align ourselves with you. We say, let God be true and every man a liar. Father, whatever situation or circumstance, Father God, has come to confront or challenge your word, Father, today we exalt your word above it. We exalt your word, Father. We say, Lord, that your word is true. Father, thank you that you are able to save to the uttermost those who put their trust in you. Father, we bless you today. Father, today we give you the praise. Father, today we give you the glory. In Jesus' precious name, we have prayed.
Amen.
His people said, amen.
Amen. Amen.